The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our, well, let's see, connected tonight bunker. The bunker has been going through some growing pains.
Apparently.
It can't take it. Rain? I don't know.
It's something. We were offline yesterday, not by design. We had planned to do a program yesterday, but...
I think it's the search terms I put into Google. Well, I really do.
This is really bizarre. By the way, welcome to 22211.
Yeah.
Yeah.
22 Twain's house.
You know, I was thinking that very thing.
It's two of everything.
Reference to the film
Murder by Death.
Wait a minute. Nobody move. I got to go to the can. I don't want to miss nothing. Yeah. Anyway.
That's a line from the movie. He didn't.
Yeah. Anyway.
You need to go before you start the show.
So Sharon puts these search terms into Google yesterday, moments before the internet here at the bunker just collapsed.
Celine Dion. Surrogate. And all of a sudden, everything went bluey.
Now, if you've been following the career of Celine Dion, and we know you have, there's no way that this woman has been having children because she's just, I mean, you know, I don't care what kind of work they can do in some of those Hollywood clinics.
They showed a picture of her. Here's the thing. I spent yesterday watching Oprah and doing taxes
doing
some other things. And I thought, I watched Dr. Oz. And then Dr. Phil. I mean, my poor brain was mush by the time it was over. I was just sitting there thinking, okay, I'm going to watch these things to try to figure out what it is that is so appealing, you know, so almost hypnotic that it's got audiences just, you know, eating it up with a spoon. So I had that on the background. And Celine Dion, she's probably a lovely woman, but she was on there with pictures of her twins, and she's got an older boy now. And the twins, they were babies, and she was lying there. And she was super skinny, and then, you know, she's carrying them around, and the woman, super skinny, couldn't have fed a child if she had to. And we're talking about naturally.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And I thought, surely she had a surrogate. You know, because she's not young anymore, and she was talking about it. They did use IVF, in vitro fertilization. So I don't know. Nicole Kidman is all out and saying, yes, okay, of course, we used a surrogate. Look, you can buy anything if you have enough money.
Yeah, when you do that search, by the way, for those terms, Celine Dion surrogate, 629,000 search results at Google.
And suddenly our internet access is...
Yeah, actually, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Well, there it goes. Anyway, it was back by... I noticed you tweeted last night around midnight that it was back. What were you doing awake at midnight?
I just... is pattern that I've fallen into lately, Sam.
Yeah,
I was in bed by 9 last night. I was really tired. And then I woke up again around 11:30, couldn't sleep. Picked up the iPod, was doing some reading, thought, oh, okay, well, let's check just to see if the Wi-Fi is back, and boom, there it was.
And there it was.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this afternoon, it was here all day, and then afternoon about the same time that it went out yesterday, and I didn't put those search terms in again, I promise you.
Well.
It went bluey again, and now it's back. So we're just praising the Lord that we have this time that we can share with you. Now, well, see ya.
We're taking up the whole 30 minutes.
Oh, honey, there's so much to talk about.
There really is. Boy, you know, unlike last time we took off a couple of weeks, Egypt fell here. This time we just took a couple of days, and Libya apparently is on the verge.
It's just about it has spread the unrest.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call it unrest, although it's actually like a civil war.
Yeah.
In Libya has actually spread to Chicago.
What?
What? I didn't tell you.
My kind of town?
Your kind of town. I posted this video at PID News. It shows, it's called The Anguish from Libyan Bloodshed Reaches Chicago. Libyans in Chicago are watching the world news, and they are taking up the cause of their compatriots back home.
Well, I guess that's understandable, but, you know, who are they protesting against in Chicago? It's not like Muammar Gaddafi is, controls any of the wards there, as far as I know.
How do we know that?
Well, my mom was one of the few Republican election judges in the city of Chicago. She's pretty well
That was probably fair election.
Well,
as much as your mother could make it so.
Yes, that's very true, what was within her power. But she said, you know, it really is true. The ability to breathe is not a requirement to vote in the city of Chicago. At least it wasn't back in the 60s. So, but you know, that's really odd. I mean, I can understand people being upset. Gaddafi's been in power longer than Mubarak. He's been awfully quiet lately. He seemed kind of subdued a few years ago when he finally said, okay, you can have my weapons of mass destruction. But, you know, he's about to turn 69 years old and, you know, come on. The guy's lived a long life. He's got a gazillion bucks.
You know, he's only about 10 years older than I am. He looks like he's, you know, half embalmed. Maybe he is.
Well, you know, long
maybe he's
long
lying about his age. There was a video of him today, you know, ranting on and on. We all remember his great speech, his rousing speech at the UN last year that lasted 100 minutes. Well, today's speech was only 75 minutes. It was short. But it looked to me like his point was, I'm still in Tripoli. I'm still, you know, I'm going to fight until the last breath. I'm going to be a martyr.
Blood, right,
yeah, well, anyway, he looked like he was taping it from the serial killer basement from the house over on Broadway that we rented when we first came to town.
And we say that tongue-in-cheek, of course.
It was just an old basement.
An old basement.
With lots of secret rooms.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And upright beams. You know, that are support beams that look like they'd seen better days, and that's where he looked like he was.
Yeah.
He looked to me like he was hiding somewhere.
Yes, probably somewhere in Cleveland. Yeah.
Or Chicago.
It could be, yeah. It is really bizarre what has taken place and how this has spread. And I just want to throw a couple of alternate viewpoints out there.
Okay.
Because the American media seems bound and determined to portray this as a democratic uprising, and maybe it is.
Oh, this isn't democracy in action?
Well, let's just consider, as we do here on PID Radio, that there may be another explanation with more how does Mike Heiser put this? Other scenarios that may have greater explanatory power. The price of oil today, February 22nd, is up about $5 a barrel, which is about 7%. It's up to about $95 a barrel. Not its all-time high, but it has been trading considerably lower than that for the last year or so. The unrest in Libya, and particularly in Bahrain, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, has got traders nervous. Now, these speculators really aren't the guys who actually take delivery of a single barrel of oil and make it into anything. They're just trading pieces of paper back and forth like baseball cards. But they drive up the price of oil. That's the way the world game is played. So the price of oil is going up. Somebody's making money on those trades. Somebody's making money pretty, you know, and somebody's also making money on the commodity markets where staples like wheat and corn are being traded. We've talked about this for quite some time. The price of food has really been escalating over the last couple of years. That, according to a very few observers, like and we've mentioned this gentleman's name many times, Ambrose Evans Pritchard of The Telegraph in the UK, has pointed out that while the price of food might not be the real reason that the protesters first organized, and we know some of these guys in Egypt have been getting together for at least 3 years or more to try to get Mubarak out of office. But when you push the price of bread up 50%, 100%, and suddenly it's taking you a full day's wages to buy a loaf of bread, that's more than the average person on the street can stand.
That sounds biblical.
Kind of does, doesn't
it? Day's wages for a...
So think about this now. We've got traders making money for oil, which is now trading up a good 7% today on the news from Libya and especially from Bahrain. You've got commodities traders making money, trading futures in wheat and corn and rice and other staples that people need to live, especially in poorer countries where basically they've got, you know, rice or bread as the main foodstuff in their diet. And you're raising the price, doubling the price, because commodity traders in New York or London are swapping pieces of paper back and forth and bidding up the price. And, of course, here in the United States, we're so nice and green, we've also committed hundreds of millions of acres to corn that we're burning in our cars, which is insane. But my point, that this is the match that touched off these riots in Tunisia and then Egypt and then elsewhere, where people suddenly find they can't afford a loaf of bread because elites who are trading these pieces of paper back and forth are getting rich driving up the price.
Hurt not the oil and the wine.
Yes, but the elite-controlled media is focusing on these uprisings as democracy in action.
Well, that's because, what they're told to do.
Exactly, because, well, you know, Gaddafi, he's a madman. He had it coming. Mubarak, well, he's a dictator. He had it coming. Ben Ali in Tunisia, well, his wife was like the Imelda Marcos of the Middle East. He had it coming. But the guys who are swapping these pieces of paper back and forth and driving up the price of corn and wheat and oil, the things that we need to provide the basics of life, they're just sitting back there getting rich and laughing. They think this is democracy. Who's taking over in Egypt? Well, the military. You think the military is going to put somebody in there who actually wants the poor average guy on the streets of Cairo to have a say in what happened? No, those guys are just as rich as Mubarak. Come on.
I think
so. That's my theory about what's
going
on.
I think you are right on target, and I think that cancel scan. McAfee was trying to pause. I think you are right, and I think that is more than even those countries. I suspect that if there is a shadow government, global government, and of course there is, if indeed there is, and.
Mm-hmm.
That they are trying to take over all of the oil-producing countries of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it by pitting Sunni against Shia.
Which brings us to Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's frankly, I was not even aware of this until the situation there began to degenerate. But Bahrain is ruled by a royal house that is essentially a conquering from a conquering family that went into Bahrain a couple hundred years ago and took over. The average people of Bahrain are Shia, but the ruling house of Bahrain is Sunni. So you've got the Sunni leaders there who've brought in, according to the news reports we've seen on TV, essentially hired thugs, mercenaries from mm-hmm. places like Pakistan and Kuwait, other Sunni Muslim mm-hmm. regions around the world, to police the locals. Who are apparently being supported, at least verbally, by the government of Iran, which is, of course, a Shia government. Iran and Saudi Arabia, from what we can discern, and frankly, you know, most of us in the West, I doubt very, very, very few of us here in the West really grasp what's going on in these power plays. Mm-hmm. But as best we can understand, Saudi Arabia and Iran are essentially wrestling with one another for control as the regional power in the Middle East. And the Saudis don't want to see Bahrain fall to these Shia insurgents. Iran apparently doesn't want to see the revolution there fail. I mean, basically, they're fighting a little proxy war right mm-hmm. there in Bahrain.
They are. And it looks to me like we are seeing the setup for the 12th Imam.
That could very well be. I mean, we think about this from the closest analog or example that I can come up with is the violence that took place for so many years in Northern Ireland between Protestants and Catholics. I mean, you've got people who are essentially claim to believe in the same God, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so they're killing each other. And that's what's happening between the Sunnis and the Shia and has been for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bahrain is sort of a flashpoint for this conflict. it sticks out into the Arabian Gulf there. It's also the home of the United States 5th Fleet, which puts our guys in kind of an odd position there. And Saudi Arabia backing the ruling house of Bahrain. How much support Iran is giving to the protesters in Bahrain, I don't know. But
I think it's coincidental
here.
That there, or is it a coincidence that their fleet, their ships, including a gunboat, mm-hmm. were trying to transit the Suez Canal, Iranian ships, and they have gotten through, by the way.
Yeah.
They're on the other side. They're on their way to Syria.
Well, this will be really interesting because Debka, the intelligence-themed news source from Tel Aviv, has been reporting that one of those vessels is loaded with missiles for mm-hmm. Hezbollah.
And supposedly the U.S. transited. Some of our ships, a group actually went the opposite direction and met the Iranian boats before Iran had a chance to go through the Suez Canal. And that was the real delay. Mm-hmm. That was the real reason for the delay. The Iranian ships are now through the Suez Canal. So we'll see if the U.S., if there's any report that the U.S. insisted upon boarding and inspecting the cargo.
Yeah, don't know. Don't know about that. So things continue to heat up in the Middle East with all of these various plots and subplots playing out. I mean, of course, Israel's right in the middle of this swirling winds that are blowing all around. And
Pakistan is in there too. I mean, while we're all looking at Libya and Bahrain and Algeria and
Yemen,
Morocco and Yemen,
yeah.
and name, you know, fill in the blank, there are things going on in Pakistan. This Raymond Davis, who was arrested about a month ago for shooting two Pakistan men.
Hmm.
It's now coming out that indeed the Pakistani police were correct, that despite the fact that he had a diplomatic passport and should have had immunity, that he was not there working for the consulate in Pakistan.
Oh, okay.
He was there.
So it was a fake hall pass.
I love you. He was there to – there have been a number of stories, but it's been breaking over the past week or so. On the 14th of February, by the mm-hmm. way, Pakistan had pretty much they were yielding to the Obama administration pressure, and they were going to let him go. Well, the New York Times, of all things, New York Times, which is one of those partners to WikiLeaks,
mm-hmm.
the New York Times has come out and they said, no, he actually is a former Blackwater employee.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
And was acting, according to the Telegraph, was the acting head of the CIA in Pakistan.
Hmm.
Here are the interesting details. Davis is driving his car in a Pakistani neighborhood, decides to pull over, and he told the police that two men on a motorcycle were trying to rob him. So he pulled out his Glock, and mm-hmm. don't we all carry one? He pulled out his Glock and shot them 10 times, one of them twice in the back.
Okay, in the back.
In the back.
Yeah.
Moments later, another car containing two men who were there to rescue Davis ran over a third Pakistani man.
Okay.
Three dead. The two men in the second car, we don't know where they are.
They've disappeared.
They've fled the interview.
Yes, yeah. They more than likely got to the U.S. Embassy and were smuggled out.
That would be my guess.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. Davis, who not only had a Glock in his car, but also had maps of the area and secret information that hasn't been revealed what it was, but also a makeup kit. Yeah, I'm just out here just driving along, and these guys were going to try to steal my makeup kit.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot him with his Glock. Well, news is coming out now that he was far more than just an employee. He did the nose.
Yeah.
He literally did the nose. He had the makeup kit
to do
the nose.
Well, so the federal government has admitted that he is a CIA employee.
Yeah.
and a former Blackwater agent or employee.
Well, the interesting thing about saying you're a former Blackwater employee,
yeah.
Well, that could be technically true if you're now currently a Z
working
employee.
Working for Z Services, yeah, mm-hmm. XE, sure.
Well, the word today is that he was giving nuclear bomb material and bioweapons material to Al-Qaeda in Pakistan.
That Davis was giving this information to?
Yes. That came out today.
Now, who released that? The federal government or the Pakistanis?
Hold on. Let me go to the article. Double murder accused U.S. official Raymond Davis has been found in possession of top secret CIA documents, which this is the according to the ANI, which point to him or the feared American Task Force 373,
ooh.
The TF-373, operating in the region, providing Al-Qaeda terrorists with nuclear fissile material and biological agents, according to a report.
Huh.
Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service is warning that the situation on the subcontinent has turned grave, and that's in quotes, as it appears that open warfare is about to break out between Pakistan and the United States. That's according to the European Union Times.
Huh. Well, this is interesting. And, of course, this information is per Pakistan's intelligence service, the SVR?
This is per the ANI. That's who wrote the report. The two men from the that were killed on the motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
It is now revealed were probably working for the ISI.
Which is Pakistan's intelligence services.
Yes.
Okay, right.
The equivalent to the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. There's something on the ground going on in Pakistan that may be setting up either a false flag event here in the United States or another mm-hmm. country. And Davis can be the fall guy. He's the one that gave it to him. Or
yeah.
Setting up out and out, as this article says, war with Pakistan.
You know, what's really interesting here, and we're kind of doing this on the fly as we record this on February 22nd, that the story I just saw, which is at a website called the Pakistan Ledger, and I don't know if this is a reputable news source or not, but it referenced the EU Times, which is, again, another online news source that mm-hmm. is just essentially a blog. And that was what referenced that the SVR is actually Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service.
Right.
But that smacks of Sorcha Fall.
I know it does. Now, I don't know what the actual original source of any of this is, but here's
yeah.
the thing. This was published at Yahoo.
Uh-huh, yeah. Which means that the story is developing some legs. I mean, it's really an interesting
yes.
story.
And despite the actual original source of the information,
mm-hmm.
if it is getting onto Yahoo and making it into the mainstream, then we're supposed to pay attention.
Yeah, it's getting out there somewhere.
And we're supposed to pay attention to what they're telling us. In other words, this may be a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The takeaway being not the actual information itself, but what we are supposed to believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. I
yes.
wonder if my makeup kit's in my car.
Yes. This story regarding the nuclear materials in Al-Qaeda is coming from Sorcha Fall.
Ah.
So color this as disinfo.
Well, I think a lot of things are turning to disinfo with regard to this gentleman. WikiLeaks,
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if WikiLeaks comes out and says something about him soon. There are more and more mouthpiece websites. And who knows who's really behind the information.
Yeah, yeah. So what we do know, at least from major news sources, is that this guy Davis was arrested by Pakistani authorities, even though he had diplomatic papers. The Obama administration has been trying to get him released. The Pakistani government was about to release him. And as of today, according to the news in The Guardian, published yesterday, Monday the 21st, that Davis is a CIA agent and a former employee of Blackwater.
Uh-huh. And it's causing rioting in Pakistan.
Sure, because he's an American who they think is, like most Americans who do stuff in their part of the world, in their perception, going to get away with murder.
But at the very least, there is strong evidence that he may have been providing on-the-ground intelligence and coordinates for the UAV strikes.
Right, which the Obama administration has increased in frequency mm-hmm. since the Bush administration. So, and that isn't sitting very well.
No, it isn't. And many of the articles that I read about this gentleman are saying that he may well be killed in prison. And they're trying, the Pakistani police are trying very, very hard to keep someone from killing him. They have dogs sniffing his food, sniffing for poison.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was an interesting one.
And the word has gotten out in within the prison there that he's been bad-mouthing Allah or something.
I think that's what I read. Now, forgive me if I've remembered that incorrectly. Honestly, my memory is not always great anymore.
Well,
I do my best, but there was some rumor spread about him, and the word is that if he is in the general population at all, he's likely to be killed.
Yeah. Well, according to the Telegraph, he was described as the acting head of the CIA inside the Pakistan.
Yes.
Inside Pakistan.
Yes.
But again, given the fact that Pakistan's been enduring along its border regions with Afghanistan rocket strikes, missile strikes that have killed civilians who happen to be in, you know, just the wrong place at the wrong time, this guy is. I can't imagine too many places more hostile right now for him to be.
No.
So
no, he's in a bad position. And
but yeah, again, just to clarify, there's a lot going on behind the scenes with this story. But the reports that are circulating on the web that he was feeding nuclear information to Al-Qaeda originate with Sorsha Fall. And so
well, that's true. But there are other articles that don't mention Al-Qaeda. They say that he was trading information with Islamists in Waziristan.
Mm-hmm. Well, that needs a little more investigation to document.
And that's not Sorsha Fall. That comes from places like The Telegraph and The New York Times.
And presumably they'd look a little deeper than many of the
well,
online
you
news
think
sources
so, there. But let me tell you, when it comes to intelligence services, let me tell you the other story that I found today that we need to talk about a gentleman named Dennis Montgomery.
Okay.
Who was selling software to mm-hmm. our government.
Okay.
And here's the deal. The crux of the story is that a guy named Dennis Montgomery seems to have concocted an elaborate con on the U.S. government that worked for years. He created some software supposedly originally designed to help colorize movies, but it was later pitched by him that it had the capability to read coded messages in the crawl bar on Al Jazeera. Montgomery went on later on to tell the Bush administration that his software decoded a message in the crawl bar that said that there were planes that were going to be used in a terrorist plan against the United States.
Huh.
The planes were American-bound flights from Britain, France, and Mexico in December of 2003. Does this sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
That they were supposedly hijacking targets.
Mm-hmm.
The discussion at the time included an idea to shoot them down.
Mm.
This was based on a
fraud
that our federal government continued using for 5 years. After this, they were still using it, in fact, in February of 2009.
After the fraud was discovered?
5 years after the fraud was discovered.
Just making it clear that even though the government – so somebody in the government found out about this, told other guys in the government, but said, you know, if we admit this, we're going to look really stupid. So let's just keep paying this guy and hope that he goes away.
Keep paying the guy, and so I don't know if the – you know, it almost sounds like slush fund. You know, let's figure out a way to wash this money and use it for other ops. Yeah, I know.
Or maybe that's the other thing, too, is that this guy, Montgomery, is well-connected and that the money was going
elsewhere. I don't know. But, I mean, it was still being used in February of 2009 because the software found information that alarming news that someone was plotting for the inauguration of Obama and trying to take him out.
Oh, boy. I'm just thinking this is like that YouTube video out there now for the iPhone 5. This guy selling him on this software. Yes, it's the coded messages in the crawl in Al Jazeera.
He patented this stuff. He got a patent for fake software. Oh, not only did our government know it, but apparently Playboy magazine, which is something that we don't read, but apparently Playboy and, gosh, what was the other media?
New York Times.
Yes, yeah. I think it was. They figured out what was going on and actually told the government, you know, you're paying this guy for nothing.
Well, why should he be any different?
He made millions and millions of dollars, and it has since come out that, if I can find the number here, that, where did I put that? It's billions of dollars, and I wish I could find the exact number that...
I'll put a link in the show notes at PIDRadio.com.
Yes, we've got a link to this story because it is... It's... Oh, here it is. Separately, a Pentagon report notes that our government has paid an astounding $285 billion, with a B, in just 3 years to contractors accused of fraud or wrongdoing. Doesn't this sound like slush fund?
Well, it does.
It sounds like some sort of black op that we've got to figure out a way to funnel money to a fake entity.
Well, yeah, but you remember on September 10th of 2001, the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld went before news cameras and said, we can't account for $2.3 trillion in transactions.
$2.3 trillion. That all disappeared.
From the Defense
day.
Department, which disappeared the next day, and then suddenly nobody questions the Defense Department budget after that. So
a trillion with a T.
Trillion with a T.
So where's all this money going?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? It sure isn't here to the bunker, but frankly, I'm glad because I've seen... Well, you just turn on the evening news and entertainment tonight.
If that money were all here in the bunker, we'd have to move it because we're moving in a month, and that's a lot
of money.
You know, I don't think we can explain to Allied van lines when they pull up.
Where'd that money come from? Yeah. Well, anyway, we've already gone over time, and there was one other story I just wanted to touch on very quickly because I think this and you know, before we go too far with the laughing here, I think the one thing we should point out, which is really sobering, is that this much money is being spent and that decisions were about to be made regarding these planes.
That's what is horrifying about this, based on a fraud that is making
a con man rich.
Now,
people may well have died because this guy conned.
How many other decisions are being made
that
based on bad or intentionally misleading information?
Yeah, and that is the takeaway from that story. And I think rather than go off further than that, I think we'll just leave it on that. Just a reminder, we live in a fallen world, but brothers and sisters, let not your hearts be troubled, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDRadio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day is coming.